doesn't need his name up in lights. He just wants to be heard, whether it's the beat or the mic. He feels so unlike everybody else alone. Hello. In spite of the fact.
Welcome back. Lenders, Chris Odazzi, Bram, Justin Acri, Chris Kane, Ron Burgundy's here. He's making deals, making fun of horses, measuring glove boxes. Beautiful thing.
He's the only one manly enough to tell you about it.
We will get back into, actually, we have another Redskins-related story here, oddly enough.
Really?
Yes.
That's three in one day?
Yeah, we'll get into entertainment, birthdays, and all the other stuff we normally do in a little bit here. But Redskins safety Brandon Merriweather is back in practice after serving a one-game suspension for, among other things, a late hit on Brandon Marshall, the Bears receiver. Marshall had strong words for Merriweather after the game, and Merriweather has fired back as well. And I think you've got a couple of clips there from Brandon Merriweather, the defensive back from Washington. Do you not, Matty?
To be honest, man, you just got to go low now, man. You got to end people's career. You got to tell people ACLs and, you know, mess up people's knees now. You can't hit them, you know, you can't hit them the way, you can't hit them high anymore. You just got to, you know, go low. He feel like I need to be kicked out of the league. I feel like people who beat their girlfriend should be kicked out of the league too. So you tell me who you rather have, somebody who play aggressive on the field or somebody who beat up their girlfriend.
Okay.
Whoa, shots fired.
In 2009, Marshall found not guilty of two counts of civil battery stemming from an 08 incident with then-girlfriend Rashida Whatley and had been arrested but not charged for a separate incident.
Wow.
Earlier this year, she brought a lawsuit against him and it was dismissed. Cheap shot maybe by Merriweather. But
at the same time.
Here's the thing. I've talked to Clint Conk about this too, and they have seen a number of leg injuries, a very high number. You've seen it around the league. You've seen it around the country, a lot of leg injuries. Guys are so paranoid about going high now, which is fine, but they are going low. And again, everything's happening in a split second with guys that run 4.3s. It's a tough, tough, tough thing. But you're going to see, as a result of avoiding concussions, something has to give, and it's going to be leg injuries, knee injuries, ankle injuries. It's unfortunate, and some of those can be so devastating, it can keep you out for a much longer period of time, where a concussion might keep you out a week, maybe two, maybe three. Some of these leg injuries are keeping you out for the rest of your season, the rest of your career.
On the on the flip side, you look at that too. Concussions, it might only keep you out a week, and you might be able to get back in, but over time, if they build up, might shorten your lifespan.
That's true.
It's one thing. You look at your career and look, they're both bad. And I'm not saying I'd rather have either or. This isn't an either or situation, but it's a lose-lose because you go low, you're going to end a guy's career short by hitting his knees and maybe messing up the way he walks the rest of his life. You go high, you're going to give him a concussion. Yeah, he's going to be back. You're going to get fined. But then over time, if those build up, who knows what he's going to turn out like? Unfortunately, Junior Seau found out the hard way.
I understand that.
You know, and some other guys are too.
Well, but that, again, things have changed exponentially since then as far as the identifying of the concussions, the response to the concussion, you know, and again, if you have multiple concussions, you're going to have to consider giving it up. I can tell you, I never played high-level college, didn't play college at all, but my thing is I played 7 years of tackle football, never had a concussion. Lots of guys play their entire careers and don't have anything diagnosed.
That's a good point.
Doesn't mean they don't have any,
yeah.
But it doesn't, you know, again, I just don't think, I think if you continue to ask guys to hit low, and maybe they need to make a target area, maybe it's if you hit anywhere, you know, lower than the knee, higher than the neck, you're going to be
like the strike zone.
Yeah, I mean, almost like that.
Almost,
I mean,
like a strike
maybe
zone.
We'll get to that point. You know, injuries are part of the game, and I don't want to, you know, sissify it any more than it has to be. But I do think it does open up a whole new realm of injuries that maybe you could have avoided otherwise.
Yeah, and you look at some of the injuries this past season. I mean, there have been so many injuries, and maybe that's a product of people having to go low. Now, you see all these players, both in college and pro, knees are getting blown out, twisted different ways because guys are going low because that's what they're being taught now.
Yeah.
And we're seeing them suffer on the field because of it.
Anyway, so that is part one on A War of Words. Now we've got Mike Mitchell, who was fined. And this was after putting Sam Bradford, speaking of leg injuries, he actually drags Bradford down from the back as Bradford was desperately trying to get out of bounds. Tore his ACL, ended his season, probably ended St. Louis's year. He was suspended, and he is poking back at the league. He was only fined $7,800 for taunting after the Bradford takedown.
He taunted him?
Yes. I don't know if he taunted him. He just taunted in general.
Okay.
I didn't see the play. He says, Roger being Roger, I guess, referring to Roger Goodell. To be honest, I think there's a little bit of a targeting system they have out. I think I'm one of the guys they've been looking for, but I'm okay with that. He says he's been fined $45,000 this year, doesn't expect the punishments to cease anytime soon. He's been fined 10 times since being drafted in 2009. So Mike Mitchell of the Panthers feeling like he's targeted. Hey, just be glad somebody's paying attention to your team. Because you know what? I think you could kill a guy in the middle of a Jags game and nobody would notice. Just saying.
Just saying.
Phillip.
Yeah.
What's up?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just catching my break in between classes. And I heard on the radio y'all talking about the Redskins.
Yes.
Here's the reason I think they shouldn't change it, and that's, you know, they've had the name for the longest time, but somebody's always going to be offended. And I used to live in Oklahoma for 6 years, and obviously Oklahoma has a lot of Native Americans. And I've got a lot of Native American friends, and they think it's the coolest thing that they've got teams like the Braves, the Redskins. You know, you could go on and on. They'll wear just about any shirt every day because that's their team, you know. And I think I saw a statistic the other day. They was asking people. They said like 90% said they had no problem with it. But I noticed the main thing, the main person who's pushing to get it, to get them to change it, is one tribe out of thousands. You know, that's like somebody's always going to be offended. There's always going to be that one person. I don't think you can make them change it because
well, you
one
can.
Person.
You can't make them do anything because it's an organization, and it's an organization within the league that also has the strongest commissioner of any major sport.
Yeah.
They can make them. Whether or not they should make them, we can debate it for sure. I was sort of on the fence about the whole deal, and I don't always agree with Bob Costas, I would say. But I did think he made such a compelling case the other day on Sunday Night Football that it did – I mean, the more you consider it, the more – to me, here's the thing, Philip. I'm not always for acquiescing to do what is popular or the safest bet. But my point is on this deal, what is the downside of changing the name? I don't see one. And financially, it could be a huge boon to the bottom line for the Redskins because you're talking about an entire new collection of gear. Now, again, there will be some infrastructure changes you've got to make. You'll have to change logos and images and names. And there will be some
licensing.
But as far as the new gear you're going to sell, yeah. I would think that you're going to come out way ahead in the deal. So to me, there's not a whole lot of downside. Teams have changed. I mean, look at ASU for example. Since they changed their name from Indians to Red Wolves, they've had unprecedented success in football at the major FBS level, or at the FBS level period, I should say.
Still,
they've had more success in recent years since they went to Red Wolves. I wouldn't say that it's because of that, but changing the name certainly hasn't hurt them any. Now, I'd love to see the numbers, and we would have to ask the president or the AD and sit them down and go over some of that. I am curious to see how much new gear they sold and rolled out once the name change occurred. I just don't see a whole lot of downside to changing it, whereas I do see some downside to leaving it.
Yeah, well, and at the same time, you mentioned some tribes that are okay with that. They got to speak up. It's not like they can just sit back and say, "Oh no, we're fine with it," and it's going to change if they don't do that. If they're truly okay with it, they'd have to speak up and be as loud and forceful as some of these other groups that are against it.
Philip, did you hear the Costas take on Sunday Night Football?
No, I know I didn't.
I'll tell you, we'll play that again here in just a minute.
All right. And, you were talking about, yeah, if they change it, they're going to make a lot of, like, millions of dollars. Not like they don't need any more, but yeah. I think, too, you take out, you know, it's something that's always been that way. It's never changed. It's kind of tradition, you know. That's how people look at it.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Well, there are lots of traditions that we've done away with because they're wrong. So I'm not sure that's done.
That's true, but.
I mean, just because it's been done that way for a long time doesn't necessarily make it right. Doesn't necessarily make it wrong. I think you're, you know, pretty reasonable guy, it sounds like. So I think there are plenty of people who are like you that say, hey, look, here's a few reasons why. And I think there are probably some compelling arguments to why it should stay. I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen, but I do feel that it's probably going to change. I'm going to play this Costas clip for you, though, in a second. I want you to listen to it and then see if it changes your opinion at all. But I appreciate the call in.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, man. Let me get Bobby Joe in here first, then we'll do that. Hey, man.
Hey, man, so what if it offends somebody? You know, us white guys can be called anything, but Lord and behold, don't upset some minority group somewhere. You know, tough crap. They don't like it, tough. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that you're in the majority as a white person, and that if you haven't been oppressed, then you don't really have an argument.
Yeah, well, we need to stand up and get things back in order. We're all in trouble. Thank you.
Okay. You know what? It's going to take a lot more work than has been put in to wipe out racism completely, apparently. I'll tell you what, play the clip there, Matt, and then if anybody else wants to react to it, I see Brian wants in on it. We'll get back to that in a sec.
Washington playing Dallas here tonight. It seems like an appropriate time to acknowledge the ongoing controversy about the name Redskins. Let's start here. There's no reason to believe that owner Daniel Snyder or any official or player from his team harbors animus toward Native Americans or wishes to disrespect them. This is undoubtedly also true of the vast majority of those who don't think twice about the long-standing moniker. And in fact, as best can be determined, even a majority of Native Americans say they are not offended. But having stipulated that, there's still a distinction to be made. Objections to names like braves, chiefs, warriors, and the like strike many of us as political correctness run amok. These nicknames honor rather than demean. They're pretty much the same as Vikings, Patriots, or even Cowboys. And names like Blackhawks, Seminoles, and Chippewas, while potentially more problematic, can still be okay, provided the symbols are appropriately respectful. Which is where the Cleveland Indians, with the combination of their name and Chief Wahoo logo, have sometimes run into trouble. A number of teams, mostly in the college ranks, have changed their names in response to objections. The Stanford Cardinal and the Dartmouth Big Green were each once the Indians. The St. John's Redmen have become the Red Storm. And the Miami of Ohio Redskins, that's right, Redskins, are now the Red Hawks. Still, the NFL franchise that represents the nation's capital has maintained its name. But think for a moment about the term Redskins and how it truly differs from all the others. Ask yourself what the equivalent would be if directed toward African Americans, Hispanics, Asians, or members of any other ethnic group. When considered that way, Redskins can't possibly honor a heritage or a noble character trait, nor can it possibly be considered a neutral term. It's an insult, a slur, no matter how benign the present-day intent. It's fair to say that for a long time now, and certainly in 2013, no offense has been intended. But if you take a step back, isn't it clear to see how offense might legitimately be taken?
There you go. I thought it was a very, very compelling argument for me.
You know, when you hear it like that, well, and he made some good points. You look at the Florida State Seminoles. They embrace that down there. The Seminole tribe was one that flourished throughout Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I think you just look at it's the name. It's not all names. It's not like you said. It's not like Braves and Blackhawks and everything. It's not like we should change everything. It's just this one name.
Yeah, that's my whole deal, too.
Yeah.
Is he
understand
a pretty – I thought he was pretty good about, you know, calling it down the middle. I don't think that he was so over the top about it.
Did he say something about Cowboys, though?
Yeah.
Does Cowboys really need to be changed?
No, he didn't say it needed to be changed. Did you listen to that? He said there are a lot of them, including Cowboys, that are a celebration to some degree of a certain group of people.
Just making sure.
Yeah. So, no, absolutely not.
Okay.
I'll take a couple more calls. Oh, wow, we got three all of a sudden.
And they're all about
the Redskins. Yes. Hey, Brian?
Brian. Come in, Brian. Bye, Brian.
All right. We'll go to Nate. Hi, Nate.
Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking my call. Love the show.
Thank you.
Hey, first off, I just want to say that it disappoints me as a person, as a human, that where we are in our society, we still have people that don't care about offending other groups. I think we should be sympathetic, considering what we did to certain types of people to get this country the way it is. But to hear, I didn't hear the cost of stuff until just now. And to hear him break it down to say, you know, put it against other minority groups and take the equivalent of Redskins and put it against, say, the African Americans and where that would leave us, would we keep that name? I doubt it. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. I'm a Chiefs fan. You know, should they have to change that name? It's kind of one of those things. But I just think it's disappointing that people are so hardened by whatever hardens them that says, I don't care if we offend these people. That's all I got to say. I appreciate you, Joe.
Nate, thank you. Look, I have one philosophy, and logic should rule. And logic to me tells me that this is not something that needs to continue. Black skin, yellow skin, or brown skin, to compare it to what Costas was talking about if you were going to go with other races of people.
Yeah.
And again, you're being identified by the color of your skin. There's an issue with that in today's society. 50 years ago, it might have been far more acceptable. This would never even have been a discussion we would have had. But again, we become a little more enlightened as we go through time, and I hope 50 years from now we're in a different place and we're able to fix some other things that are wrong. But I just think you've got to be reasonable, and the logical thing to me is to change it. Again, he pointed out several that have changed names. I just talked about ASU, which is one that is near and dear to most of us here in the state of Arkansas. The downside is almost nil. The upside could be substantial. Again, it may not be a huge plus for them, but there's no negative to it. What's the negative? And I'm all for traditions, and I'm all for those kinds of things, but
you can start a new tradition.
Yeah, and I don't. It doesn't change who you are as an organization. It just takes away the negative that that is associated with your organization. Philip.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that clip, and he did make a lot of really good points. But I do have one question. The Redskins, they've got is their mascot like the actual mascot? Is he a real Native American? Is he an Indian?
I don't know that. I don't think so.
I don't believe so.
Is he not? Okay, I was thinking if he was, I'd like to hear his point of view for see what he thought about it. That'd be pretty interesting to hear.
Yeah, it might be. I appreciate the call.
But, all right, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, the thing I like about Casas is not because I want to side with Casas or because I think that, you know, he's right necessarily. All I'm saying is he makes a very compelling argument. And if you're trying to deal in logic, what's reasonable, what makes sense, that's a pretty good case. Cody.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to, I mean, I've been watching football for a long time, NFL and stuff, and the Redskins, I've always, you know, I never thought about it offending anybody until, you know, years later. To me, it's a bunch of crap. I mean, if the tribes and all these people say that's fine, it's not offensive, then freaking drop it. As far as I know, the last time you cut a white guy, a black guy, an Asian guy, Indian, as far as I know, all of our, the color of our blood is the same. It's red. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, we're not talking about blood color. We're talking about skin color.
All 10 pints of it, too. Hey, real quick, little team history for you about the Redskins. They were originally the Boston Braves in 1932, changed their name in 33 to the Boston Redskins, then moved to D.C.
Mm-hmm.
So what if they went back to Braves? Embrace the past. I know that the Atlanta Braves have that name, but didn't we learn something a long time ago? There's a lot of Lions, Tigers, and Bears.
There's only one Liger, and they need to accept it. Here's the thing, too, and I thought another point that Costas made was interesting. And again, we're bringing this back up. We've already been down this road. We're bringing it back up because Goodell is actually going to have a conversation.
Yeah, they're meeting, by the way.
So that's the update to the story. One of the things he brought up was, of all the places for this to happen, this isn't Boise, Idaho.
Yeah.
This isn't San Diego. This isn't even Arkansas. This is the nation's capital. So again, the light that is shed on this particular issue because of the fact that it is in the nation's capital, to me, is even more glaring. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If it was in some other places, it may not be quite as big a deal. But, I mean, you know, Miami of Ohio is not exactly a major university, and they thought better of it. Of course, the NCAA took a very harsh stance on you were either going to change or you're going to face some serious sanctions. Yeah. Will.
Hey.
Huh.
We still talking about the Washington controversy?
We are.
You got it.
I don't have my radio on at the moment.
You're on the air, okay. Will.
All right. Listen,
why don't you just tell us what you think?
I equate it to brand recognition. And Washington has a lot of equity in this name. And what if, say, everybody that lost a child to cocaine addiction demanded that the Coca-Cola company change its name because they found it hurtful and offensive? Coke, you know, that would be a hard pill for Coke to swallow. And I kind of think that maybe Snyder and his group are looking at it maybe from a brand recognition, compromising their brand, so to speak.
Here's my deal. I think you're talking about apples and oranges, and I don't necessarily think it's the worst case that can be made, but I don't think it's very compelling. I'll give you an example. The NBA team in the nation's capital changed its name because of a controversial nickname, and it wasn't even racist.
Right.
So that would be closer to what you're talking about with Coca-Cola. And I don't think most people know the history on that anyway, so I don't know. Actually, Coca-Cola truck drives by here on I-30.
Is that
right on time
or coincidence?
Coincidental.
Okay, just making sure.
But they went from the Bullets to the Wizards, and the great thing is they sucked before and they suck now. But but they changed the name.
They stayed true.
And nobody all of a sudden thought, well, wait a minute. Are the Wizards in Seattle? Or Minneapolis. I mean, they know it's the nation's capital,
right.
You know, the nation's capital team, you know. So I just don't think that.
And I do agree with you that Costas, his argument is the best argument I've heard for it so far. And I think over time, the Redskins are going to be, forced or compelled, put it however you want. They're going to end up having to change their name.
Yeah.
So,
but Will,
anyway.
Wouldn't you agree with me?
Of course, on everything.
Almost, but don't you
think that
Washington has a prime opportunity to do what so many other schools could have and should have done, so many other organizations ought to have done over the years, and
I accept Liger
as the mascot that they absolutely could be unique with. Nobody else has it. I encouraged Dean Lee at ASU when they were changing their name, and they did a contest to come up with the best nickname.
And Liger wasn't selected?
And Red Wolves was fine, but Liger is so unique. There's lots of Lions and Tigers and Bears, but, Will, there are no Ligers, and you could be the first one.
So you want the nation's capital, which is supposed to represent this country of ours, to have a fictional character?
It's not a fictional character. It's an actual animal.
It's a lion
and a tiger combined. It's the most fierce animal on the planet.
They're flipping sweet.
Snyder's almost a cartoon character himself, so why not?
Yeah, well, here's the other thing, too. What do we talk about the United States being? A melting pot? We're taking two animals that are representing the nation's capital as its mascot.
Why do you want two, then? Why not more?
Fine.
Why don't we just make one super creature?
A ligernosaurus. I see you working. You put a big horn on the front of that cat.
Now you want to talk fearsome.
It'll be unstoppable. In fact, if you could cross-blend a rhinoceros with an elephant, it'd have the horn, but it'd also have a big trunk in front.
It might be an unfair advantage to all the other teams. They couldn't do that.
Will, you've opened up a whole new world to me. I appreciate the call.
Hey, guys. You guys are thinking way beyond me. Thanks for the show. Enjoyed it.
Hey,
see, Will.
Chris and I are actually getting the effects of meth, I think, from watching too much Breaking Bad reruns. Billy.
Hey, let me ask you a question.
Okay. Hey.
Where did the Cleveland Browns get their name?
That's a good question. I don't think it has anything to do with race, or it would have come up before now.
Okay, I was just wondering. Thank you.
Hey, that's a fair question.
That is
a fair question. I'll look that up right now. Yeah, Jake.
It's too.
To answer the caller's question before, I believe that is for a dog for the Cleveland Browns, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Besides that, as an ASU fan, I don't really have an opinion one way or another. I hated that we lost the name Indians back in the day, but of course I've come to really embrace the Red Wolf name, and as you said, Justin, I think it's been a big help to the university since then. Two kind of detriments, if I had anything to it, is number one, I would hate to see maybe kind of a slippery slope effect that this could have on other teams and organizations like the Atlanta Braves, the Central Michigan Chippewas, the Utah Utes. Some of those I know they've gotten their tribes to give permission and they've gotten the okay to keep the name. But again, I just one of those, I just can't help but feel like if you're going to start nitpicking at this one, what's going to stop from, say, Atlanta to be called the Ted Turners here soon?
I understand what you're saying, and there's always the fear of going too far. But again, if you go back to the Costas argument, which, again, I think is the most moderate, reasonable, and logical argument that's been made, he already addressed all that and said, while they may be more troublesome, they're a celebration of a people. So it's not the same thing. This is a slur, okay? And any slur, I think we can all agree, should probably be looked at real hard as to whether or not it needs to continue. That's the difference. And I agree with you. But my thing is, it's a case-by-case basis, and we're talking about this particular case at this particular time, and it's an issue for a lot of people, including the commissioner. And, oh, by the way, Brad Sham, who a lot of people around here are Cowboys fans and revere Brad Sham because he's a darn fine play-by-play man, will not say Redskins anymore during their broadcast when they play the Washington NFL team.
True. I'll give you that. Just let me ask a quick question because I'm just curious. Not meaning to start a fight or anything, but
okay.
Do you feel like the term Braves, Indians, even like the more, the Chippewas, et cetera, is that kind of, well, not, okay, take away Chippewas, but like Braves, Indians, is that kind of a slur to you or maybe a stereotype?
I don't think, Indians isn't necessarily, it's not PC anymore. That one's to me a little bit more of a, you could make a much more compelling argument on that one than you could on Redskins to me. The PC term now is Native Americans, and so it's gone away. Now, Braves, I don't think most people are going to have an issue with. I don't think they're going to do anything about it. I think if there was going to be a change made there, that it would have happened before now. So, again, it's case by case. But, I mean, again, this one to me is a pretty obvious one. So we'll
see. I was curious. Thank you, Jim.
I appreciate the call. Thank you. And, look, those are other ones that some people will have an issue with, too, and I think there could be a debate about it as well. So, but to me, the D.C. team is the one that's got a serious issue that is probably going to be changed.
Yeah.
We'll take a few more calls on it. We've got some entertainment news we do want to get into. I do have a brief birthday trivia list. If you want to talk about the start of the NBA, Razorbacks Auburn,
Start of the NBA. Riveting stuff.
Well, tonight it is.
Well, at least it's opening night. We get a little taste, and then we'll take a break for 3 months until it gets interesting again, right?
It's going to be interesting. I liked it best when they had the strike-shortened season, though, because every game is a much more
exactly
compelling. Same argument we make about baseball. 162 is way too many.
Yes.
I understand why.
I do, too, and I heard Phil Elson's argument for it, and I get that, but it's still long for an average fan.
Again,
you know.
I do get caught up in the whole, we play 162 games, but we have to rush through our wild card series and play it in one game. So stupid.